Welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. I'm Greg Sankey, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope that your day is going well and the past week is going well with you, and that these devotions are somewhat of an encouragement to you. You know, when I started these, I've always heard, and different people that leave the church and different things, always some reason why folks leave the church. But several years ago, it just kind of stuck on me, leaving the church because they're not being fed. Now, I know that that's many times an excuse, but how do I help overcome that? How do I feed the flock as Jesus told Peter to do that, more than just on Sundays or Wednesdays? So this is my heart, all right? Just sharing with you a little bit of my heart. And it is to give you something other than the normal services to help you overcome a daily problem, or just give you strength for the day, just something to chew on, a morsel of God's word. And that's my heart, to help. Each one of us need help, right? We all do. But today, I hope that it'll be also somewhat of an encouragement to you. You know, there's so much in the Bible that it takes a lifetime plus eternity to talk about everything in the Bible. And during our devotions, we talked about so many different things, everything from the emotions and doubting and forgiveness and so on and so forth. And all of these authors that God has used to enlighten us and to reveal to us His Word. And yet, sometimes we need to look at the author or the writer to whom God used to pen these words down, these inspired words that are from God, but yet He used men to do it. And these men have a character. They have emotions. They have a thought process, and they have a heart, and they have, you know, the downside where David, you know, was so discouraged in Psalm 42, and you'll find that, you know, Jeremiah constantly crying over Israel, and this heart's being broken. So when we look at Paul, Paul is one of my favorite characters in the New Testament, although I like Peter, and then I like Timothy, and John has the great privilege and responsibility to write the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And most of the individuals that are used in the Bible, you can clearly see a part of their heart as they write. Even though they're God's words, their heart is put into this, and even through their actions, you see them. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He was of Jewish descent. He lived a normal Jewish life, and he was very, very knowledgeable in Scripture. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel, as we understand. Gamaliel was one who taught him. He was his master, his teacher, his rabbi that taught him. And he grew up then to be a Pharisee. He rejected Christ. He rejected the very thought and the truth that Jesus came to be the Messiah. He did not believe that, and it was hard for him to accept it, even as we find in Acts chapter number 7 and 6, where he was not willing to believe what Stephen was saying, and therefore he watched Stephen get stoned. But Paul, which was his Roman name, formerly named Saul. His name Saul meant one who inquires or one who asks. And you see his name, you see his character revealed in Acts chapter number 9, while he was on the road to Damascus. And there when the Holy Spirit, or when Jesus Christ came and revealed himself to him, Paul asked two questions. Number one, who art thou? He's revealing his name. He's an inquirer. He's an inquisitive young man. Who art thou? And then, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's almost as if that was the closing curtain of Saul, which now then he really transitioned to using his Roman name. His Jewish name was Saul, but his Roman name was Paul. And now he transitions to using that more prominently in his salvation life, because his name now means captive or restrained. So he was captive by Jesus Christ, and he was restrained, as we read, that the love of God restrains him, constrains him, it holds him together, it binds him with Christ, even as he says, I'm a bond slave. I am a slave by love and by decision. I am now part of Christ. And so he uses that name, Paul, more prominently throughout the rest of the New Testament than he does Saul. So what is Saul's heart? I think we ought to just take a look at Saul's heart as someone that we 13 books of the Bible. He wrote 13 books of the Bible. So certainly there's got to be something special about Paul for God to use him in such a grand fashion, writing more books than any other writer out of the 66 books. He wrote 13 of them. And so Paul, now being captive of the Lord, and his life is now ever changing and discovering new things of the Lord, even through his personal salvation. He became one of the chief missionaries of the New Testament. Although Barnabas was there, Luke followed, and so on. Timothy was there, and Titus, and even John Mark, and even Demas was part of some of the missionary journeys. Yet Paul, we would say, would be the primary missionary of the New Testament. And Christ would constantly reveal his heart to him, or really his heart to us, as we read some of these letters. And so they are seen as he writes back in some of these letters that they are discussing numerous matters and problems and questions, and even types of counseling that he has given the church, and wanting to help them along their spiritual life and their spiritual growth, that part of sanctification, that they're coming out of a background of sin and deceit, I don't know where that come from, but immorality and idol worship and all these things. And Paul just wants to help them grow in their spiritual life. And you see his zeal, you see his compassion, you see his heart. He says in Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So his heart was to not to be lazy in the work of God, not to be lazy in the ministry, not to be lazy on my missionary journeys, or even writing letters back. But I want to have a zeal. I want to have an ardent love for the Lord, a compassionate love, a love that is a moving love, a powerful love, a push in my life. And so he shares that, and that's his heart. Part of his heart also, we notice that even though some of these churches have a lot of problems, you know, what church doesn't have problems? We all have problems. Why? Because we're all sinners, right? We're all saved by grace, but we are still sinners. And so with every church, there's always problems, especially in the New Testament church, especially in the First Chancery church. They are discovering what it is to be a church. They're discovering what it is to be unified, what it is to be found under the Holy Spirit in one accord and one heart and one mind and so on and so forth. And even through some of these letters that Paul, he responds to, even though they are difficult, even in his travels, as he goes from place to place, and many times shipwrecked and hungered and jail and so on and so forth, and then dealing with the carnality of this and the carnality of this church. But the Bible says that, you know, all of these things, you know, are overrun by the cares, by the love, by the deep devotion that I have to every church. Not just one church. Not one church is more special than the other. Ephesus, you're more special to me than the one in Philippi. No, that's not the case. Paul had a great, great love for the church. But his love was not just for the church. Here's where I think we see his heart, that maybe we should adapt to our own self, even though we ought to have a great love for the church, and maybe I'll speak on that eventually. But I want you to look at the love that he has for his people. His own people, his own his own kinsmen. As a matter of fact, in Romans 9, verses 2 and 3, he says that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish, this is Paul's wish, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He said, I'd rather give up my salvation for you. In order for you to understand, I would rather give mine up. He had a great heart. He had a great earnest, a continual sorrow, the Bible says, a heaviness in his heart for his kinsmen, for the Jewish nation. And he reveals his intimate prayer later on in the next chapter, this heartfelt, this burdensome prayer, a prayer that apparently he was unable to escape from as he went from place to place and walked from this church to the next church and from town to town and village to village and across the sea and so on and so forth. He had a constant prayer, which is reminded to us in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. He said, I am interceding on behalf of Israel. I'm coming to God on behalf of Israel is that they might be saved. See, that's a powerful prayer. He's not just talking about his aunts and uncles and cousins, his immediate family, his birth family. He's talking about the nation. He's talking about those that he grew up with. He's talking about the men that he was under the Pharisaic religion with. He's talking about all these ones that rejected the Messiah and that he has now understood and found the Messiah. He now has a great zeal and a great prayer, a burdensome prayer that they might be saved. And I read this and I begin to wonder, do we have that same prayer, that same zeal, that same compassion, that same heartache? Not just for our immediate family, but for anyone that does not know the Lord, that is not saved. It's something that Paul, you can see it throughout his letters, especially to the book, to the church in Rome. I would say that he is very, very adamant about wanting to see those individuals saved. He says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2 and 3, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They know God, but they don't understand God. They don't equate the Old Testament pictures and types of Christ and who God is to the New Testament reality that it's been fulfilled. They've not married those two together. They're still looking for the Messiah. They're still waiting for the coming of the King. They're still wailing at the wall. They're still looking for his coming, and yet he's already come and gone. And Paul says, I wish that you would understand. You are worshiping God. You are serving God with a zeal, but kind of the wrong kind of zeal. You don't understand. You're doing this in ignorance and in the knowledge that only you have, but not the knowledge of God. You don't have the knowledge of God in you. So he has a great heart to help them establish, you know, not their righteousness, but the righteousness that only God can impute unto them. And they are working the work of the law. They are doing this and doing that and trying their best. How many people try their best to be accepted of God? One day, hopefully one day, I will be accepted of God if I keep in this parameter of my life, if I do so many things that hopefully will please God, and hopefully that will win his attention and win his acceptance. No, listen, no matter what you and I do, we're not going to get to heaven without his righteousness. We're not going to get to heaven without his righteousness. Did you ever go to a restaurant where, you know, you have to wear a jacket? If you don't have a jacket, you don't come in. And every now and then they will have jackets for the men in the back to wear. If you don't have a jacket, then you can borrow one of theirs. You can borrow a jacket from that restaurant in order for you to be accepted into that restaurant and partake of that restaurant meal. In order for you and I to get into heaven, it's not what we wear, but it's what Christ gives us to wear. And what he gives us to wear is that robe of righteousness, his righteousness that we receive from him. We don't purchase it. We don't have it. It has to come from him in order for us to enter in. So Paul's heart was that they, not only his immediate family, but all the Jewish population understood who Christ was, that they would no longer work their best work through the Mosaic law and try to keep the law, and that really the law that only condemns and proves sin. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law, and Jesus is the fulfiller of that. The law is there to tell us that we are sinners, but Jesus came to tell us that we also can be saved. So Paul's heart is very true, and he knew by experience that even in his own righteousness, he could not get to heaven, and he surrendered there on the road to Damascus. And he has a heart. He has a heart for his people. Now, we ought to have a heart for not only our immediate family, our husband, wife, daughter, son, children, grandchildren, for them to be saved, but we ought to have a heart, a zeal, a strong burden for those around us. This is not something we ought to take lightly. It's not something that we just ought to, think about on a fancy here and there. I think it's something that ought to be in us all the time, wanting to see those around us saved, wanting to see those around us come to know the Lord. We're studying on Wednesday night. You can join us on our Facebook, on our church Facebook, and watch our Wednesday night services as we're going through the book of Revelation. And what a phenomenal, outstanding, yet terrifying moment, 7-year period plus, that this will be in the time of the tribulation after the rapture takes place, and the vast number of millions of people that will be destroyed, will be killed during these 7 years, is astronomical. And to think that the way to escape this is through Jesus Christ, and to receive Christ now. And so what our duty is to warn others of the cliff that they are about to go over, and help them not to fall into that, and let them know about salvation. So Paul's heart is burdensome, and I want to challenge each one of us to have that same burden. Paul's heart is full of prayer. I want to challenge each one of us to be praying for those that need to be saved. And Lord, help me to win somebody. Help me to share somebody who you are, and to give them a track and invite them out to church. Why? Because they need the truth. For their understanding of Christ, their understanding of the truth. So I hope that, hold on here. I think I just got something going on here. Here we go. Have a great heart, have a great burden for the lost. All right? I hope this has helped to you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge that we all need to just absorb in our own heart and life. All right? Well, I'm Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. Thanks for joining me today. You can go onto our Facebook and our YouTube and be a part of our church family. But come join us here at 1045 Monroe Concord Road here in Troy, Ohio. And love to have you visit our church. If you do not have a home church and you're looking for a church, please come by and visit with us. We'd be happy to have you, welcome you into our family, and join us for a very special time during our services. If you have questions, you can email me at calvarytroy.com. It's going along the bottom. You can see that. Pastor@calvarytroy.com, and I will answer you as quickly as possible. All right. Well, may the Lord bless you today, and thanks for joining me today for Devotions from Calvary. Hope to see you here at the church sometime, or see you online.